Good morning, everybody, and welcome. It seems quite a few weeks since I last saw you, but I'm back, raring to go, thank goodness. Praise God. Right, this morning, I do apologise in advance for my croaky voice, but God loves a scarecrow as well as a nightingale, doesn't he? Really? It is very croaky this morning, but you'll have to bear with me. So let's just start in prayer. Father God, we just welcome all these people this morning. We welcome you into this church by your Holy Spirit. We pray that this building is not a building. We are the church. The people are the church. We pray your blessings on each and every one of us. In Philippians 2, verse 9 to 11, it says, "For this reason, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow, of those who are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." So I've been thinking this week about names: Saviour, Healer, Redeemer, King of Kings. If I give you 10 names, you'll probably come back to me with 100. But all we need to know is to recognise that Jesus is the name we need. We thank you for your ever-loving arms around us, Lord, this morning. And we pray your blessings on this service and every person that takes part. To the glory of God the Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Is it the lovely Carol who's going to do some verses?
Good morning, everybody. It's really good to see everyone here this morning. Welcome us to those who are on YouTube as well. If it's your first time with us, you're very welcome. We hope you enjoy your time with us. Thank you again for the sung worship to start. It was really, really, it's always an excellent way, isn't it, to start our time together, praising the Lord in song. So thank you for that. Dave Sansbury, I think people quite might know him by now. He's been coming a few weeks from Australia. He's going to be speaking to us shortly, so we look forward to that as well. Not many notices this week. Most of the week, well, all the weekly activities have been postponed now until September. People are going on a holiday, but they will be starting up again in a few weeks' time. Just to say, though, on Sunday the 21st of August, we are having a picnic at Ron Valley Country Park, weather permitting, after the service. Just bring sandwiches and something to sit on, and we'll give a few more details nearer the time as to where we're going to meet. The facilities down there are really good, and we'll obviously not be walking too far, and we'll try and find a nice space where we can just have lunch together and play a few games if anybody's energetic enough to do that. I've forgotten to give Janet the slide. We have a messy church on the 28th of August, Sunday the 28th of August is messy church. Just thought I'd mention it because it's a really good time to invite friends that maybe don't come very often, or it's always a really good time together. So if you just pop that in there, it is the bank holiday weekend as well, but that's going ahead then on the 28th. Sunday the 11th of September, we don't really want to be thinking about autumn yet, do we? But just for your diaries, if you've not already got it in, church members meeting after the service at 12 o'clock. The newsletters are out now. I'm sure you'll have seen them as you came in. They're also available on the website. Thanks again to Janet and Chris and anyone else who has contributed. David, you've done quite a bit in it this week, this month, so thank you for that. So all the information that we need that you'll need is on there. Of course, Facebook page is updated regularly, and if there's any problems, just give us a ring and we can help out in any way that we can. I just want to apologise to the younger members of our church family, but this little reflection is perhaps more relevant to older members. But who knows, God speaks to us all in different ways, doesn't he? So, in 1968, a scientist discovered a 300-year-old necklace in a Native American grave, and it was made of seeds that had been strung together. And he planted one of those seeds. And guess what? It sprouted and grew. Although it had been dormant for 600 years, it still had the potential for life. Now, maybe some of us have been a Christian for many years and perhaps have felt a bit dormant spiritually for most of it. This did happen to me, actually. I'd been a Christian for over 20 years and I was quite happily sauntering along, not doing much, but still, obviously, I still believed in what I'd made a commitment to the Lord, that still was very important. My faith was very important, but I was kind of just sauntering along, not doing much really, until I got baptised, and then things changed big time. And from that, I've been able to do things that I never thought were possible. So if anybody here is feeling that they would like to be more spiritual active, but thinking it's too late to change, well, dare I say, or if you're saying I'm too old, well, the good news is that it's not too late and we're not too old, never. In Psalm 92, we read that good people will prosper like palm trees and they will grow strong like the cedars of Lebanon. They will take root in your house, Lord God, and they will do well. They will be like trees that stay healthy and fruitful even when they're old. And apparently, a palm tree produces its greatest harvest in its final years. The last season of our lives can actually be the greatest. So just a few examples of people that have achieved great things when they have got into their, shall we say, golden years. That's the last way of putting it, instead of being an OAP. In their golden years. In 1977, John Glenn became the oldest astronaut to go into space at the age of 77. Ethel Davey, wonder if that's some relation to you, Chris. I just realised that. She's from St Albans and she's 100 years old and she still does voluntary work for a charity 2 afternoons a week. Joanna Quass is the world's oldest gymnast at 86 years old and she only started the sport when she was 56. And Nola Ox fulfilled her lifelong dream of getting a degree in Bachelor of General Studies in 2007 when she was 95. Quite achievements. And then, of course, we have characters from the Bible. We have Abraham, who was 75 when he set out from Haran for the land of Cana. That was about 250 miles because he wanted to do what God was asking him. And he was walking probably most of the way. And it's thought that Noah was around 500 years old when he built the ark. And Moses was 80 when God called him. So the word for today is, we're never too old to serve the Lord. We just need to ask him what he wants us to do.
Just before Dave Sansbury comes up and speaks, I just want to invite him up in a moment, because many of you do know him, but some of you may not know him. And as Carol and as Jan have said, it's Dave, been friends with Malcolm for best part of 40 plus years, haven't you? I'm sure Dave will share, but he now resides in Australia. And we just, over the last few weeks, as you know, he brought a word to us a few weeks ago. And although we was going to finish the Psalm series off today, it's great that actually Dave is able to bring God's word to us today and to bless us with what God wants to say to us. So Dave, if I can just invite you up, please. There you go. So yeah, as I've said, you've never lived in Australia all your life. You was born over here. But how did you come to know the Lord, Jesus, as your Lord and Saviour? And how did you come into his work of evangelism?
Right. Well, first of all, there is a God.
Amen.
Liverpool 3, Manchester City 1. Thank you, Lord. I am not a real Liverpudlian, but just outside of Liverpool. I grew up going to church, but never really being converted. When I was 21, I went to New Zealand. They called us £10 comes, prisoners of Mother England. And when I got in, nobody in England ever, ever witnessed to me, ever spoke to me about salvation. As soon as I got to New Zealand, it was as though they swarmed around me like bees. And I was getting contacted from this person and that person. Cut a long story short, a Methodist minister loaned me a book by John Wesley's 44 sermons. At that time, it seemed to me that was like a hole in my head. That was the last thing I wanted. But I thought, I'll read one of his sermons just in case he asks me, have I read any? So I thought I'd be reasonably, I wasn't altogether honest in those days, but I'll be reasonably honest and say, yes, I've read some. So the sermon I read was called The Almost Christian. Almost. Believed in God, went to church, prayed for a girlfriend when I needed exams. But when I read Wesley's sermon, I realized Wesley said, unless you are born again, you will not enter the kingdom of God. I got out of bed one night at midnight, got down on my knees and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. The next day, nothing changed. The next day, nothing changed. But on the third day, I was walking and leaping and praising God that I was now an altogether Christian and not almost.
Fantastic. That's amazing. And maybe just briefly before you do share God's word with us, what does God lead you to do?
Okay, briefly, I'm a fisher of men. Follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. So wherever I go, like the Beatles, here, there, and everywhere, I will go and sow the good seed, the gospel of Christ. I've done it in New Zealand, Australia, and England 7 times.
Seven, as we know.
Yes, exactly.
Well, David, it's been a pleasure to get to know you in this in short space, and where we shared testimony and what have you, and maybe you may do that later of the incident in Sheffield at the bookshop.
I'm not sure if you've time,
but if not, do ask him afterwards, because it's amazing how God led him to a lady in Sheffield. I'll say no more than that, and Dave may share that later on. If not, ask him. But just on behalf of the church, we'd just like to offer you just a small token of a gift.
Thank you.
There, and someone else has also given a gift as well. Just so,
lovely.
As we bless you as you go on your way to other places in the UK before you return back to Australia, we just want to thank you. We want to thank God for your ministry and for your faithful walk in him and through him as you do his work. Can I just pray with you now before you
please.
Come?
Yes.
Let's just pray.
Yes.
Heavenly Father, we just do thank you for your servant, for your son, Dave. We thank you for all those years ago, how you placed people on his path. Mm. How that book was given, Lord, and how he read some of it, knowing, Lord, that there was a work to be done. Because we know that when you come into our lives, we are transformed by your transformational grace, by your salvation,
yes.
by your deliverance. Mm. And Lord, we just thank you for that time. And for the many times, Lord, where David has shared, where he has boldly stepped out in the name of Jesus, not being afraid, and stepping out and sowing that seed. Not, Lord, that he would recognize that he does all of the work, but yet it is through you, working through him, that you will bring that to fruition. So, Father, may you continue to anoint him. May you continue to bless him. May you give him health all the days of his life.
Thank
and may
you,
we pray for traveling mercies. Lord, as he just brings his word to us now, may you open our hearts, our minds and our ears to receive your word today. May it speak into our hearts. May we, Lord, by your Holy Spirit, understand what it is you're saying to us today. We thank you for him. We thank you for all that you do, Lord. In your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Bless you.
Thank you. David. Thank you. After starting a new diet, I altered my drive to work to avoid passing my favourite bakery. I accidentally drove by the bakery this morning, and as I approached, there in the window were a host of goodies. I felt this was no accident, so I prayed, Lord, it's up to you. If you want me to have any of those delicious goodies, create a parking place for me directly in front of the bakery. And sure enough, on the eighth time around the block, there it was. Isn't God good? Isn't God good? I'm going to speak to you this morning on a subject which is very near and dear to me. It's helped me. It's called the exchanged life. It's called, some of us might say, the Christian life is a change life, and I'm not doubting that, but also the truth is we also have to agree it is an exchanged life. And I have got Tina, who's going to come up and read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17 to 21.
It's awful when you got to put your glasses on. Awful, isn't it? I don't like it at all. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. Do you want it to stop there?
No.
Okay. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God, for God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sin so that we could be made right with God through Christ. Amen.
In Isaiah 32, verse 17, this is what it says, the fruit of righteousness shall be peace. The effect of righteousness will be quietness and assurance forever. What a verse. What a verse. And remarkably, as you go through the Bible, you will find that peace always follows righteousness. In the Psalms, it says, righteousness and peace, they have kissed one another. they are happy partners. Two cannot walk together except they agree. And the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. What a kingdom. Isn't it good that with all that's happening out there, we have been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. An exchange life. Years ago, living in New Zealand, my mother and brother were in Australia. There were no emails or text messages. I'm still struggling, Barbara, but getting there. And she used to send me a letter now and again. And it was wonderful to receive a letter. But when I opened it and I found a $100 Australian note in it, the letter got more exciting. And then I took the $100 Australian note to the post office or the bank, waited with deep breath, and waited for the exchange rate. And in those days, for $100 Australian, I received 150 New Zealand dollars. Oh, I thought, definitely fish and chips tonight. These days, it would be 110. Things do change. So what an exchange. So I'm going through this theme on the power of righteousness and how wonderful this exchanged life is. Isaiah 61 verse 3. I appoint unto you that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. That's a good start, isn't it? To give you beauty, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise. That's a good one to have. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that we might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. Trees of righteousness. Remember Malcolm and Marbeth, 42 years ago, the Cromore Baptist Church, we would be singing, and the trees of the field will clap their hands. The trees of the field will clap their hands, and we'll go out with joy. And I said, Lord, I've never seen the trees. I've never seen the trees clapping their hands. And the Lord said, no, but you're one of them. You are a tree. We are the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, so that he might be glorified. So I won't share a lot of what I do over in Australia, but for 22 years, apart from other things, I have gone to aged care homes and still do. I have a music team and we entertain the elderly people. Many of them say, Dave, are you looking for the best one for yourself? And I said, only when we get Sky TV. And I actually teach them to clap their hands. I teach them to read when we have a song, get them to read. So we are the trees of righteousness. We are the planting of the Lord. What an exchange. Ezekiel, I will give you a new heart. And don't we need it? The heart of a man is desperately wicked, deceitful above all things. Who can know it? I will give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. The two guys on the Emmaus Road had it, didn't they? After they communicated with Jesus, instead of having heartburn, they said, did not our hearts burn within us? As he talked to us, as he opened the scripture. And so the new heart and new spirit. In Isaiah 33, it says, the Lord is exalted, for he dwells on high. He will be the sure foundation for our time, a rich store of salvation. And in Isaiah again, in righteousness you will be established. Now, the Bible is very good to us. In the Old Testament, there are types and shadows. And even in the New, remember when Jesus came up out of the water? His Father spoke from heaven, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And the Holy Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove. And in the Bible, the truth of righteousness is also explained to us by a garment which we wear by faith. I'll just explain. Isaiah 61. I love this verse. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God. Why is he rejoicing? Why is his soul joyful in my God? Why? He has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with a robe of righteousness. Remember the prodigal son? He'd gone into a far country, wasted all his money with drink and wild living. And when he returned, his father ran towards him. That was the only time God was ever in a hurry. It took him 6 days to make the heavens and the earth. Never in a rush. But when it came to bringing his son back home, he ran towards him, gave him a kiss. Gave him a hug. And then he said to the servants, put on him the best robe. Put on him. All was forgiven. Now, I'm going to repeat myself. Is it John? You're John?
David.
Yeah. I do pray for you, so I've got it. That's okay. Right. There are four Jewish words which are very interesting. I teach them over in Australia. Shalom means peace. Right. Second one, you mightn't get it as quick. It's called Mizpah. Okay. When Jews meet, they say Shalom. When they leave, they say Mizpah. The Lord watch between you and me. While we are absent one from another. That came about by two brothers, Laban and Jacob. They were always arguing, always having a bit of a go at one another. They decide to call it a treaty, put a stone up and put on Mizpah. Laban went that way, Jacob went that way, and they wrote Mizpah. The Lord watch between you and me while we are absent from another. I think, Malcolm, you like this one. Tetelestai. When Jesus died on the cross, he said, it is finished. In Hebrew, tetelestai means paid in full. He paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone to wash my sins away. And now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, the whole day long. Christ Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Now the fourth one, I don't think you will know it, but you might. It is called the Kethoneth. K-E-T-H-O-N-E-T-H. Now I've got to explain it. After Adam and Eve sinned and came short of the glory of God, and the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together for a covering. And today God looks at people and he sees one of three things. We either try and hide our sins through sewing a kind of a fig leaf. And then there are filthy rags. What are our filthy rags? All our good works, they are in God's sight. That is for salvation. Afterwards, we do need good works. And finally, there is the Kethoneth. And this is what the Kethoneth means. Unto Adam also, and to his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. Now this Kethoneth is the coat. The coat. And the Kethoneth means in Hebrew to cover and to hide. So when the prodigal son received the best robe, the Kethoneth, it means to cover all our sins and to hide all our shame. Doesn't that bring relief? Doesn't it bring peace? Doesn't it bring joy? That the worst thing I have ever done before Christ, the worst thing I have ever done with Christ, I have the Kethoneth. I have the robe of righteousness to cover all my sins, to cover all your sins, and to hide all of your shame. Tina read to us 2 Corinthians, and he who knew no sin, he who knew no sin, he was made sin. John the Baptist, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Isn't it marvellous, the gospel, that our sins are not only forgiven, but they are taken away. As far as the east is from the west, so far have I removed your sins. Your sins and iniquities, I will remember them no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no more sacrifice for sin. It is finished. Tetelestai, paid in full. And so on the cross, he who knew no sin was made sin, so that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. He took everything that was ugly and wrong in our lives, put it on himself, and he was punished. On the other hand, the great exchange, he gave us He exchanged his righteousness for us. I am covered over with a robe of righteousness which Jesus gave to me. Here's a few pearls of great price. How much more will they who receive, I love this one, I nearly got it wrong the other day. How much more will they who receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness? We don't earn it. We don't deserve it. It's a gift. We will reign in life through Jesus Christ. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord. I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. Now this is his name by which he will be called the Lord our righteousness. Daniel proceeds further and says, to make an end of sins and to bring in everlasting righteousness. What a gospel. What a gospel. The good tidings of great joy that we are ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven, who like thee his praise should sing. Well might Charles Wesley write, faultless to stand before the throne, clothed in his righteousness alone. The Lamb's wife has made herself ready, and to her it was granted to be clothed in fine linen, clean and bright. For this is the righteousness of the saints. No fig leaves, no filthy rags, but fine linen, clean and bright. There is a final warning. And there was a marriage, and the king saw a man who came into the wedding. The man did not have on a wedding garment, and he was removed. Make sure you have your wedding garment, the kethaneth, your robe of righteousness. Thank you.
Thank you, David. It's lovely to hear a bit of your story as well this morning, because like all of us, we've all got a backstory, haven't we? We're talking to Tony this morning, because we were talking about books and things that told me about a book that you'd read, and somebody, they didn't know their backstory. Well, I don't know half of your backstory. So it'd be good to get some testimonies, I think, going, wouldn't it? And it's lovely to find out how you became a Christian, because I didn't know that before this morning. So, yeah, that would be really good. Isaiah 12, verse 4. In that day you will say, give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done, and proclaim that his name is exalted. This week, Father God, we pray that we'll have a chance to share your love, the love of Jesus, but will also give us an opportunity to share the name of Jesus. We thank you for this morning, Lord, and everything that's happened this morning, and everything we've heard. We praise your name, Father God, in the precious and mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Can we share the grace, please, Janet? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.